It's nice to see you. If you've got your Bibles with you, you can turn to Galatians. If you haven't got your Bibles with you, don't have a Bible, I'll buy you one. It's always good to have the book in front of you, or an iPad or a cell phone with the Bible on it, because the Word of God changes, not my opinions. I've got a big, loud voice. I'm quite convicted, so I shout sometimes, but that won't change you. The only thing that will change you is the Bible. And when the Bible and the Spirit come together, our hearts are moved. Amen? And so we're doing a series through Galatians. It's like a warfare series. It's between Peter and James and Paul. Peter and James are caught a little bit in legalism. The headquarters of Jerusalem is kind of saying it's Jesus plus a bit of circumcision, Jesus plus a little bit of stop smoking, Jesus plus a little bit of, and Paul's saying, no, it's just Jesus plus nothing. And so there's this war going on, and there's a war between the law and the Spirit of God. So God gives us His Spirit, but the law is sitting there, and you kind of think, what place does the law play? I went to a Christian school, started by a Christian pastor to raise Christian boys in the ways of God. And every time I went into that church, I felt scared because I felt like I didn't come up to the standard. And they expected a behavioral pattern from me, not just a belief system. They expected me to be good because it was a Christian school. And being good, you tell a young teenager to be good, they're just good enough until they go to Stellenbosch, then they go wild. And Stellenbosch and Tikkies and the Strip are a den of iniquity, and many of those children have been brought up in Christian homes, gone to church every single Sunday, but they leave home and they go wild. That is not what Christianity is about. Christianity is not some external belief behavioral pattern that gets placed on top of me to somehow try and keep me under control. Christianity is a belief system that touches me inside, sets me free completely. From my flesh and from my sin and from my mistakes and from my shortcomings and from my guilt and from my fear. And God actually saves me inside, and it starts outworking itself outside, and I start affecting people. Amen? That's what we're fighting for. It's called the gospel. It's not a set of rules. And so I left school with the Ten Commandments. Don't break the Ten Commandments. But that doesn't do anything for us. Eventually, friends, when we get saved, God writes the commandments on our hearts. And then instead of looking at a list that I have to try and obey, it's already written inside of my heart. It starts to work inside of me. But that's true freedom. Amen? And so that's where we are. So Galatians chapter 3, please. And we're going to look at a guy called Abraham tonight. In the Muslim faith, there's a guy called Ibrahim. How many guys you know called Ibrahim? Because Abraham is important in the Muslim faith too. So Ibrahim had a son called Ishmael. Where the Muslims come from, Abraham had a son called Isaac, where we come from. So Abraham is a very important figure for us to understand. Okay, you with me? So let's read this one verse of Scripture in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, consider Abraham, in my Bible, dot, dot. So what I've been doing for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've just been considering Abraham. Some of the wonderful scriptures of Abraham, Isaiah 41 verse 8, Abraham was the friend of God. Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham lived in tents. He wasn't worried about houses. He knew that this was a temporary structure. He said he was looking forward to the city whose architect and builder is God. So Abraham had this kind of like pilgrim mentality. This can't be it. There's got to be something more. So I'm just going to keep everything loose, not collect too many possessions, because I know there's something in the future that God has for me. And so we should consider Abraham. Read about Abraham. Not many people that get called God's friend. Then it says this, he believed God. Say he believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. For the last few weeks, we've been looking at the bow and arrow. We had that lady, Luzanne, the world champion shooter, bow and arrow here. I thought what would be so amazing was to actually do that live. Put a target on the stage and let her shoot her bow and arrow from a few places. You'd all be a little bit scared. And then we'll give her a couple of broken bow and arrows, a couple of broken arrows like you are. We just pull a little flight off there, give it a bit of a bend, and make the point a little bit sharp, like some of you are, and then we let her shoot, and then we'll see people duck. As that thing just goes, shoo, shoo, shoo. And we're trying to build the church. And we've got this archer sitting with a crooked arrow, and shoo, shoo. One person loses their temper, the other one eats too much, the one's watching porn, shoo, shoo. And Jesus picking them up and putting them, and he's saying, I'm crediting you with righteousness. Like Abraham believed, he was credited with righteousness. And what we're trying to understand, friends, I preached this morning about buildings. We'll have a look at Genesis just now. But man always wants to build the tallest building, That is the heart of man. There's a Guinness Book of Records of who builds the tallest building because they want to somehow get up to God. And the man walked up to me after I preached this morning. He said, I'm going to Dubai and I'm going to the tallest building and I'm going up the lift. I said, why? He said, I want to get closer to God. And I said, numbskull, did you not listen to anything that I said to you? It is so foreign, friends, to try and understand that the grace of God in Jesus Christ came down so that there's nothing that you can do to make yourself go one step up. Nothing. Your righteous deeds are like filthy rags. Excuse the expression, it's a used tampon. Your righteous deeds are like used tampons. And the only thing you can do is trust for the grace of God to come down and to credit you with righteousness. Now, whenever you preach, there are always twin peaks of theology. That's how the Bible works. So right now, I'm preaching on grace. There's also a peak called holiness. God is going to come back for a holy church. You say, Rory, you keep preaching like this, people are going to keep sinning. No, we're not going to keep sinning. We're going to so understand grace that we're going to stop sinning. But I believe in holiness. I believe Jesus is coming back for a holy church. I believe he's coming back for a spotless bride. But the foundation has got to be grace. You look at the very last verse in the Bible, and it says, and the grace of God be with you. The very last verse of the Bible, and the grace of God be with you. So let's have a look at where the scripture comes from. It comes from Genesis 15. So let's have a look at Genesis 15. We're going to mess around a bit in Genesis, and then we're all going to stand, and we're going to believe that we stand in grace. Okay. Like we're not going to be buckled over when we leave here tonight. So it says in Genesis 15 and verse 6, or let's go from verse 5. He took him outside and said, look up to the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. I mean, Abraham's an old oak now, eh? And his wife's not looking that hot. He's like gone menopause, men on pause. She's gone a long way past. She's not into that stuff. She's into knitting and sewing and watching birds. And she's like the baby thing. That's gone, bro. You've had your turn. That was long ago. This is a new part of our lives now. You relax, Abraham. And God has got a promise that he's going to have children more than the stars in the sky. But what does that scripture say? So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. What's the difference? Just keep the scripture up there. What's the difference between that scripture and the one we read in Galatians? What's the difference? Let's put Galatians up. Consider Abraham, he believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. Let's put Genesis up. Abraham believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. What's the difference? No difference. There's a major difference. One is called Abraham, the other one is called Abram. His name was Abram. And 13 years later, God changed his name to Abraham. But he started operating in what God had called him 13 years before his name changed. And so when Paul writes the story, he calls him Abraham. But when it actually happened, he still hadn't had his name changed. You're still Abraham. I just walked in here. There's a young boy called Caleb. I prayed for him for many, many years. Caleb. He's on my prayer list. Prayed for him many, many years. And I actually thought when that boy was born, his dad said, this is Caleb. Caleb in the Bible, the older he gets, the more strong he gets in God. His dad must have, when he was born, he thought, I'm going to call my son Caleb. The older he gets, the stronger he's going to get in faith. I was called Rory after my grandpa's dog. But then I looked at the name Rory. Rory means Red King. And every single Sunday, I get up and I preach about the blood of Jesus. My parents, who weren't Christians at the time they named me, Red King. He's going to go into all the world and he's going to preach about the blood of Jesus. He is going to be a Red King. He's going to tell about another king who shed his blood. His name is Rory, and God's got a call of God on his life. You know, friends, I said it this morning. Labeling has got no power. And every time somebody gets given a name in God in the Bible and God doesn't like it, he changes it. You are no longer Saul, you are Paul. You are no longer Simon, you are Peter. You are no longer Abraham, you are Abraham. There is something in the call of God that is way bigger. Abraham meant exalted father. Abraham meant the father of many. And so, friends, if we want to understand Abraham, the moment we believe in Abraham, there will be a multiplication that takes place inside of our heart. You'll stop being selfish and you'll start to think of other people. Amen? That's what happens. So let's go back to Genesis 12, where Abraham's journey starts. But before we get to Genesis 12, let's go to Genesis 11. It's the Tower of Babel. Say Babel. So the whole Bible, Genesis 11 and 12, you have to understand. Just for a Bible lesson. Genesis 11, Tower of Babel. They say, let's build up and make a name for ourselves. Let's read it. Genesis 11, verse 3. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used a brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Friends, that is the beginning of Babel, and that thinking goes all the way through the Bible, right to Revelation chapter 19, where the city of Babylon gets born, and the city of Babylon is an evil place. And right next to Babylon is the call of Abraham, and the call of Babylon and the call of Abraham always coexist beside one another. And you and I are called to follow Abraham, and the people we work with, the city that we dwell in, the people that we live with, the ones that we bribe with are busy building Babylon. And we're caught in this dilemma. And this is what it says in Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and I will make your name great. Genesis 11, I will make my own name great. Genesis 12, God will make my name great. And you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Friends, this is how the Bible works. Man wants to build a name for himself. I said it this morning. I say it again. I do not think God gives a hoot about the 3CR name or the 3CR brand. I don't think he cares a hoot about it. I don't have to build it. I don't have to advertise it. I don't have to rally people around it. I don't have to put it on number plates. I don't have to put it on signboards. I don't have to do that because I don't have to build a name. The Bible says God will bless me and I will give the blessing away. And all nations on earth will be blessed through me. Understand the difference? Are you following Abraham? Are you following Babel? You want to build a name for yourself, leave a legacy. All that rubbish, leave a legacy. There's no such thing in the Bible. Leave a legacy. Leave a presence of Christ. Not leave a legacy in Pretoria, Rory. No, just come and do what you call Red King. Preach Red King. Preach about Jesus. And when he's finished with me, he'll take me somewhere else so that I can take the blessing. You know, today I'm meant to be preaching in one of the biggest churches in the world. I'm not boasting or bragging. But this is what my spiritual father taught me Genesis 12. He said, Rory, this is how the Bible works. You're either going to build a big church and a name for yourself, and you're going to use all the resources to make yourself great, or you're going to take what God has given you and you give it away. So there's a preaching circuit in the world and in South Africa. Preachers go around and they collect what is called an honorarium. You can triple your salary. I can go and speak, and because I've got a big church, I can command a big fee, and I can go and speak at churches, and I can make lots of money. But my spiritual father said, I'm already blessed here. Yeah? I'm blessed by my business. I don't need anything, so I can go into the church and preach whatever I want to preach. I can bless them, and I can get back on the plane and fly home. So I don't charge people. And there's a branch of one of the biggest churches in South Africa, and I think because I don't charge them, they invited me to preach in their church this week, but my traveling partner never got his visa. So I think, I don't know if they called me because they wanted me to preach or because I'm cheap. Probably because I'm cheap, but this is why I believe the door is answered, because I don't charge. Friends, because we don't charge. The gospel is for free, and we're not meant to use people. I take it, I take the blessing, I take what God has given to me, and I give it away. Abraham. Amen? That's why you don't hear us talk much about money here. Because the more we give, the more comes in. The more we give, the more comes in. We don't stock it up. We don't pile it high. We don't pay too big salaries. We just give it. And as God blesses us, we become a blessing to others. And more churches start all over the world. Verse 4. So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Say Lot. Lot's a problem. We all like a Lot, hey? But you mustn't travel with Lot. When you choose to follow Abraham, you must be careful about Lot, because Lot always wants to join the journey. Lot is Abraham's nephew. And the question I want to ask you this, because it says in Galatians, we are children of Abraham. I got Conrad to sing today, but he didn't do a great job. So I'm going to give you another chance, Conrad. Let's stand and we sing it together. 1, 2, 3. Had Father Abraham, I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Woo-hoo! You see, you Afrikaners never grew up with that. So I said, well, let's sing Dela Ray, or like Branavain Hetni Brikini. And then I got an email to say, hi, Rory, I was in your church this morning, I wrote Dela Ray. And Brandevain Hetni Brikini. So you never know who's in here, hey. Father Abraham had many sons, for I'm a son of Abraham. I am not a nephew of Abraham. I'm a son of Abraham. I'm not a cousin. Not a nephew. I'm not a niece. I'm a son. And you've got to be careful, friends, when you start a journey of faith, of who you travel with. Because this guy Lot caused Abraham endless troubles on the whole journey. He should never have taken Lot with him. Don't travel with your nephews. Travel with your sons and daughters, your brothers and your sisters in the faith. Let your cousins go to another church. When people leave you, they say, God's calling me to leave. I say, that's fine. You can only serve God with your brothers and sisters. You can't serve God with your cousins. Amen? Look what it says in chapter 13. Abraham and Lot separate. You see, if you walk with God, you'll always get blessed. You'll always get blessed if you walk with Jesus. You just make sure, though, when you get blessed, you don't separate. What do you think of the Israel-Hamas war? I just read the Bible. I wouldn't fight with Israel anytime. Think it's right what they're doing? No, I don't. But I still wouldn't fight with them. Because God gave them a promise. So he gave to Abraham. And it says actually, Babylon will punish you. Babylon will come and punish the Israelites, like we see was happening. It says, but they won't succeed. Babylon and Israel fight all the way through. Babylon and Christ fight all the way through to the end. And then the Bible says this, Babylon will fall in 1 hour. So Abraham and Lot, they're getting a bit blessed. So this is what it says in verse 10. Lot looked up and he saw the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered. Starts to live with his eyes. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt towards Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself. You must be very careful when you start your journey of faith that you don't choose for yourself. Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan, and he set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Say near Sodom. Yes. Sodom is where we get our word sodomy from. Sodom was the sexual city. Sodom is where homosexuality started. Sodom is where he pitched his tent near, and by the end of Genesis, he's living inside. Branavain Hetni Brikini. I went to a function, friends. I went to a function this week. I saw them sell 100 bottles of brandy with 250 men there. And I sat there, and some of those men are in this church. And I sat there, I thought, you are pitching your tent very close to Sodom. You say, Rory, you're throwing the law at us. I'll show you about grace. I'll teach you about grace. But friends, I want to tell you, when you pitch your tent close to Sodom, you're in big trouble. That's nephew behavior. That's not son behavior. That's how nephews operate. And one of the greatest shortfalls of Babylon is the excessive amounts of alcohol that people drink. You can read it in the book of Habakkuk. Alcohol will cost some of you your marriages and will cost some of you your inheritances. You say, Rory, don't get hectic with us. I won't. I promise you, I'll show you how God redeems everything just now. But now he's close. Branavain het nie brieke nie. One of the elders of this church, got given a bottle of whiskey as a Christmas present. He ended up drinking it with one of his work colleagues, had an affair, and cost him his marriage, an elder of this church. This is Christmas time, friends. This is a time when everything is jolly around the table. Make sure you follow Abraham, not the nephew. Amen? So then he rescues him. Abraham rescues Lot, chapter 14. Abraham rescues Lot. Then we see this amazing thing in verse 17. Chapter 14, verse 17. After Abraham returned from defeating Kedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet with him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, a type of Christ, king of Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine. Say bread and wine. I wish I had some here today. He brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, capital G, capital M, capital H. And he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, capital G, capital M, capital H. I just saw a lady who left this auditorium tonight. She was going home. She was crying. I said, ma'am, are you okay? She said, I'm deeply depressed. I said, ma'am, this is a gentle, caring, kind church. Please come back. She said, I don't want people to see me crying. I said, ma'am, everybody cries in that church, including myself. And she got in her car and she drove away. Friends, if you got depression, give him the G, the M, and the H over your emotions. Give him the G, the M, and the H over your past experiences. Give him the G, the M, and the H over your economic situation. Just give him the capital letters. And when your thoughts run wild, give him the capital letters so you can bring your thoughts back again. And when your passions run wild, give him the capital letters so you can bring your passions back again. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator or possessor or owner of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hand. Look at the next verse. Then Abraham, still Abraham, gave him a tenth of everything. Tithing has got nothing to do with the law. The law came 430 years later. And people say to me, why does the church teach on tithing? You've very seldom heard me preach on it. Friends, I'm a son of Abraham. And the Bible says, consider Abraham. And when I consider Abraham, I realize that he realized that God owned everything and he wanted to participate in that kingdom. And he gave him 10%, not because a pastor with veins sticking out of his neck asked for money, but because he saw the bread and wine. Chapter 15, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. This is the first thing that God says after he tithes. Don't be scared. Why? Because tithing's scary. Especially in an economic climate like this. And then we see all these wonderful things. Let's turn to Genesis 19, please. Lot goes to Sodom, gets stuck in Sodom. We're trying to consider Abraham. Lot gets stuck in Sodom. Turn me to Matthew chapter 1. Keep your one finger there and go to Matthew 1. Read it. Have you ever gone to the genealogies and you think, my devotion's in the genealogies today. Have you ever thought that? Well, let me explain. Oaks walk into my office and they say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. And I said, what have you done? They say, I've been really bad. And I said, before you tell me about how bad you've been, can I read to you Matthew 1? And they say, what's in there? I said, it's the genealogy. And they're like, ugh. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of? Abraham. Say it. Abraham. The New Testament starts with Abraham. But he's got this traveling companion, Lot, who keeps drifting into Sodom. So eventually he leaves Sodom. Now he's running away, and his wife turns around and she becomes a pillar of salt. I went to a Christian fancy dress in Singapore once. Everybody came. Some came as dressed as the three kings, some as prophets, some as everything like that. And the guy who won it just came dressed normally, and he was just holding a salt cellar in his hand. He walked around and he won it. He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Lot. This is my wife." Lot and his two daughters left Zoar. Genesis 19. Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. Where did he start? He started with Abraham with the whole land in front of him. Where do we start? We start with Abraham with the whole land in front of us. Don't choose for yourself. Ends up in a cave. One day the older daughter said to the younger, "Our father is old and there's no man around to lie with us, as is the custom all over the earth. Let's get our father to drink wine, then lie with him and preserve our family line through our father." That night they got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and lay with him. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. How bad have you been? The next day the older daughter said to the younger, "Last night I lay with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight, and you go in and lie with him so we can preserve our family line through our father." So they got their father to drink wine that night also, and the younger daughter went in and lay with him. Again, he was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. This is what happens when you separate from Abraham. You get yourself into trouble. When you stop living by faith. When you take the credited righteousness and you walk away. The older daughter had a son. So she named him Moab. He is the father of the Moabites of today. Just this incestuous line of people who sleep with their fathers and get pregnant. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 2, just after the book of Judges. Let's read it. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing. Say standing. Standing. Man of standing. Not crouched over, not buckled over, not a man of standing. The man of standing. From the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the? Say it. Where's she come from? She comes from Moabites. Where do the Moabites come from? They came from when Lot split with his uncle Abraham and his daughter slept with him. So now you've got this lady called Ruth. It's pretty much like this. Very rich farmer in Groblersdal, very wealthy man, 100 combine harvesters, massive fields, and the Zimbabwean refugee who's economically broken. She's already been spent. She's no longer a virgin. She comes bowed down. Her history is one of Moab, and Boaz looks at her, and the Bible says she has got no standing, and by the end of the book, Ruth is standing up straight. Boaz and Ruth have been married, and they give a child that becomes the great-grandfather of David, that eventually comes to Jesus. So God can take the cousin or the nephew who's gone a jolly patrolly, and he can bring him around and he can bring him into the genealogy of Jesus. And he credits Moab with righteousness. You say, "Rory, that's too good to be true." It is too good to be true. And it's for you. So let's go back to Matthew 1. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah. Jesus is from the line of the tribe of? Judah. Say it. Judah. How many of you know Jesus comes from Judah? Yeah, everybody knows that. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. This unbelievable oak, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. You think, okay, what's next? What's tomorrow in my devotions? Go and read it in Genesis 38. This is what it says. Judah's son was married to Tamar. He died. So the second son gets married to Tamar. He dies. Now, he's got to give him the third son, but he's not that keen because she's like a man-eater. So he says, like, I'll give you my third son, but I don't really want to give you my third son because, hey, my first two sons have died. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep my third son back. So Tamar hasn't got any way of falling pregnant, so she gets dressed up as a prostitute in the Bible, in the genealogy of Jesus, under the righteousness of God. She gets dressed up as a prostitute. Her father-in-law walks past. She entices Judah from where Jesus comes from, the tribe of Judah. She entices Judah to sleep with him. She becomes pregnant. He hasn't got any money to pay her, so he gives her a staff and says, send the staff and I'll send the bucks. He says, I'm pregnant. And he says, stone the whore. Read it in the Bible. Stone the whore. And she says, I'm pregnant with the man who owns this staff. And he thinks, oh, flip, that's me. And God takes that mess and he brings Jesus out of it. So he can take your mess and he can bring Jesus out of it too. Whatever your mess is. You're cutting yourself. You're sodomizing. You're living in a gay relationship. God can take anything and fix it. Because Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father. I know it's a little bit long. I just want to get this teaching into you so you can go over it again. It's clearer this morning. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nashon. Nashon was the father of Salmon. I mean, can you imagine? Who's your dad's name? Salmon. It's like something you eat at a restaurant. My mother-in-law's maiden name was Guppy. I think she must have come from the line of Salmon, you know, down the line, down the line. Now she can trace her way all the way back to Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was? Say it. Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was a prostitute. Boaz is a man of standing. He shouldn't have been a man of standing because his mother was a prostitute. He should have looked back and said, hey guys, my mother was a lady of the night. I got pregnant via, it's just an absolute mess. But he believed the righteousness of God. He believed the righteousness of Jesus. And so he became a man of standing. And so when he looked back, he thought, that's a big mess. So I'm going to have to trust Jesus, and I'm going to have to get him to stand up. So when he looked forward at everybody who was buckled over, he gave them the righteousness which he got, and he got them to stand up. Because look what the next verse says. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, a Moabitess. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of King David. So whether you follow Abraham or you take a little sidetrack like Lot, the naughty nephew, God can bring it all back together under his grace. Isn't that amazing? And part of you thinks, no, God's crossed with me. God was crossed with Jesus. Turn to Romans 3, please, and then we're finished. I hope you get it, guys. You get it, sir. Good news, eh? I see you crying, amen. Both of you together crying. You know why? It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. He can fix anything. Romans 3, verse 21. But now, say now, a righteousness from God apart from the law. Not the Ten Commandments, not a behavioral pattern, not how you grew up in the NGA church, not how I grew up in my Anglican school, it was not linked to behavioral patterns. Now, a righteousness from God that is apart from the law, it's separate, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Friends, I've been trying for 3 weeks to teach you this. All have sinned. Murder is sin. Porno is sin. Procrastination is sin. All of us have sinned. And whether you've just fallen short or you've fallen short a long way, there is no difference. There are no levels of sin. We teach and treat each other graciously because God treated us graciously. And when you look back at your own life, if there are prostitutes or bad behavior there, you are standing because of the grace of God alone. And when you look forward at everybody who makes mistakes, treat them graciously, for you have been credited with righteousness. Then we get the same verse in chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited. Say credited. Credited. It was credited to him as righteousness. For time's sake, the issue is circumcision. It can be tithing. It can be church attendance. It can be Jesus plus anything that people add onto the story. Verse 10. Under what circumstances? Oh, let's go to verse 9. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before he was circumcised? It was not after, but before. And the major issue in Galatians, it's Jesus plus circumcisions. I want to say this to you, 3CI. It's Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. Your righteous deeds are like a filthy rag. It's Jesus plus nothing. Verse 23. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Chapter 5. Therefore, because of Abraham, because of credited righteousness, because it's not by circumcision or by tithing or by stopping smoking or by coming to church, because it's Jesus only, Jesus plus nothing, Jesus minus nothing. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. Say it with me. In which we, why don't you stand? Put your shoulders back. Put your chest out. Put your head up. Put your hands at your side, not guarded. Open them up. Rory, I want to be like Abraham. I want to follow Abraham. I want to believe like Abraham. But I got caught up with Lot. I ended up near Sodom, then inside Sodom, and everything got messed up. Then God will send a man like Boaz to rescue the Moabites. He'll send Jesus to rescue the one that went skew. Because we are not saved by the law, we are saved by grace. Amen. We are credited with the righteousness of Christ apart from the law. You have fallen way short, way, 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 way short, way short. So have I. That's why I don't preach off the stage. I say this 100 times. I don't preach off the stage because I'm a sinner. I love to make a name for myself. I'm one of the most arrogant men that I know. I'm full of myself, but the spirit inside wrestles with me all the time and says, no, you're called to be Abraham. You're called to have a faith like Abraham. I will bless you and you'll be a blessing. I said, but God, I want to make a name for yourself. I will bless you and you'll be a blessing. Lord God, I will bless you and you'll be a blessing. Is this righteousness for Abraham alone? Was this before he was circumcised or after he was circumcised? No, 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 before he was circumcised. So Peter's argument is wrong. Jerusalem's argument is wrong. The legalist argument is wrong. Paul says it is for freedom's sake that Christ has set us free. I pray every one of you walk out of this room tonight. Shoulders back, chest out. Hands open, head up, not embarrassed, not condemned, not ashamed, not afraid, not pestered by your past. Can you imagine Boaz keeping looking back and think, I wonder when my history about my mum's going to come up? It doesn't matter if your mother's a prostitute. It doesn't matter if you've lived in sodomy. I want to tell you tonight, you're credited with the righteousness of Christ if you believe in the finished work of Jesus. My name is Rory. I'm the Red King. I preach about forgiveness and redemption. I preach about grace and wholeness. I preach about people's sins that are dark and debauched and far away who've been there for a long time. I speak about the freedom that they can stand under the sin because the power of God breaks that power of sin. And you don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be buckled over. You don't have to lie in bed at night and toss and turn. I know that some people have messed their lives up in 5 minutes. 5 minutes that haunt them for years and years and years. Let's put those 5 minutes under the blood of Jesus tonight. Let's put that 1 hour under the blood of Jesus tonight. Let's put that 1 week under the blood of Jesus. Let's put that fling that happened for 3 months under the blood of Jesus. A young lady walked up to me the other day. She said, "Thank you so much." I said, "For what?" She said, "Last week I confessed my sin to you." I had absolutely no recollection of what she said to me. I had absolutely no recollection. Confession of sin is not to expose you. Confession of sin is to cover you. It's not to expose you. Do not be embarrassed when you confess your sin. God is not trying to make a fool of you. He's trying to silence the voice of the devil who can't haunt you anymore. I've heard everything. I've heard bestiality. I've heard everything that you can imagine I've heard. And there's nothing that Jesus Christ can't fix. There is nothing that Christ cannot impute his righteousness into you. And you walk out of here standing in grace and in grace alone. I read that story of Lot and I thought, "Oh, Lot, you're such an idiot." And then I thought, "But God, you're such a genius. That not only do you take..." Abraham made mistake after mistake. He lied about his wife. And God just keeps giving him another chance. Then he lies about his wife again and he gives him another chance. And Lot messes up and he messes up and he messes up. And God just geniusly puts the whole thing back together in Matthew chapter 1. He puts all back together and he says, "Out of this mess comes Jesus. So that out of your mess can also come Jesus." In his wonderful name. I know I've preached long. I'm sorry. I pray this. One of my children phoned me today and said, "Dad, I was standing in the back of a church in Stellenbosch. 2 weeks ago, I started speaking in tongues. I was standing in the back of a church in Stellenbosch today. Dad," he said, "my mouth came unloosed. I started speaking in tongues, Dad." It was my friend Adrian's church. He said, "Dad, I just started speaking. It just came to me. I just got filled with the Spirit." And he just started weeping in the front. I'm talking and thinking, he didn't get filled in my church. He just got filled in my friend's church. Thank God for my friends. Thank God for my brothers. But I just know, friends, inside of us, I do not want to preach some kind of legalistic righteousness that calls me to be obedient to a black and white law. I want to preach the Spirit of God that fills me inside of my chest. I don't want to be controlled by my nature, which wants to control people and wants a name for myself and wants to build a big building. Jesus. May Abraham dwell deep inside of my heart. Consider Abraham. Lord, I want to believe you. Lord God, sitting in this room of people, just unbelievable potential. There was a lady who worshipped here last week. She was in this church. She's in ICU now because she gave her kidney to her mum who was dying. And in a preach on Barnabas, not even Jesus, she gave her kidney to her mother. I think, who's sitting here? I get the privilege of worshiping with women who give their kidneys to their mothers because of a guy called Barnabas. Imagine if we preach Christ. I want to tell you, don't settle down, young Caleb. Don't settle down. When your dad named you, boy, your dad was under the anointing of God. Your dad listened to the Heavenly Father speak. And when you're 80 years old, you will get to 80 in a breeze. When you're 80, you'll be stronger than you are right now, boy. I prophesied over your life. Every time I pray for you, there's like a roar that comes up inside of my chest when I pray for you and for Daniela. There's a roar inside of my chest. Your father gave you a gift of a name. and even to your sister, the one who will go into the lion's den, the woman who will go into the lion's den, will not be afraid of lions. She will go in there when everybody's too scared. Your daughter will shut the mouths of lions. I want to tell you, every father and mother that has called their child by name, I want to say, well done. But tonight, I believe the Father in heaven wants to rename us for the purposes to which he has called us. I seriously was named after my grandfather's dog. But that wasn't good enough for God. That's not what he called me to. He called me to preach. He called me to preach. You young lady called to preach with a red skirt on. Yes, you know, you can see. You're looking at me with your hands in front of you. You called to preach, young lady. And you with a red dress. And you with those two red-shirted men up there. You called to preach. You're wearing red. You didn't know my name was Rory. And you, sir, with your arms folded, number 7. You know what the number 7 is? 7 is perfect. I know it's a soccer team for you, but I want to tell you it's perfect number. There was a woman at the well. She was married to 5 men. Jesus said, "Where's your husband?" He said, "He's not here." He said, "That's the man you're living with is not your husband. You had 5. Now you've got 6. I'm the 7th man." That number 7 on your chest is the completed number of Jesus Christ, young man. The completed number of Jesus Christ. Jesus is on your life. He's on you. The righteousness of Christ is upon you, young man. I want to tell you, sitting in this auditorium is enough people to change the world. If you would just consider Abraham, if you would just consider him, if you would just go out to the stars and look into the sky and think, flip, Lord God, I might be old or I might be young or I might be unqualified or I might be disqualified, but God, I believe that you'll give me as many people as the stars in the sky. That is the call of Abraham. I had a spiritual father who believed that, and he put it into us. He said, "I'm telling you, we're going to trust God for the nations." From this little church, friends, and our partners in Durban, we've planted 80 churches. We're useless. We don't have any power. We're not actually very clever. We're not even strategic, but we've planted 80 churches because we believed. I want to say to you, don't settle down into ordinariness. Don't let your business become ordinary businesses that just make enough money to keep your family going. Let them become kingdom businesses that God blesses. Like he said, he'll bless Abraham. He said, "I will bless you, and everybody will be blessed through you." Can I ask you to do one very weird, wild thing? Can you lift your hands like this? Like every one of you, even non-charismatics. And I know the Afrikaner and you're saying, "Oh, Engelsman, just lift them high." You see, friends, man tries to build a tower that goes up, and Abraham just opened his arms and it came down. Just came down. This is like a funnel saying, "God, come down." I say, Heavenly Father, bless this church tonight. Bless these businessmen. Bless these businesswomen. Bless these doctors. Bless these students. Bless these single girls. Bless them. Bless, Lord God, the nephews and the sons. Bless them, Lord God. Bless them. Bless them, Lord God. Bless them. Put redemption plans in place, Lord God. Bless them. Bless them, Lord God. Bless them. Young and old, rich and poor, black and white, married and single. Bless them, Lord God, with the Abrahamic blessing, Lord God. Imputed righteousness, credited with righteousness. I have an unfair advantage. I'm a son of God. I have the righteousness of Abraham. All I ask is that you believe it. Just believe it. Just believe it. Believe it. I don't have to compete with the dealer next door. I don't have to compete with the supermarket down the road. I have a call. I have a conviction. I have an anointing. I have an authority. I have a purpose. I have a name. That even my dad's name can't restrict me. I have a name. It says this in Revelation. When we get to heaven, God is going to give us a name on a white stone. If you went to court, you'd give you a black stone, you go to jail, white stone, you go free. The Bible says God has got a white stone, and on that stone is written a name for me. Only him and I know. Only him and you know. God's got a name for you. It's written on a white stone. Do you understand that? You are designed with purpose. You are meant to be alive at this time. You are meant to be living in Pretoria. You are meant to be in this auditorium tonight, because God will not allow you to settle down to Abram. He calls you Abraham, father of many. Mighty God, there's a spiritual life. There's an unlocking of the gifts. There's a strength as you get older. He is a creator God. He is a rainbow God. He is an excessive God. He is an abundant God. He's an extravagant God. He's a kind God. He's a powerful God. I just want to say, 3CI, don't settle down to mediocrity. Don't settle down to living on the borders of Sodom. Follow God. Follow God. Follow God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, very long.
No. Rory, that was beautiful. Could I maybe ask you to come and stand with me? If you can bring your wit schooner, and I'll stand with my
pass.
Maroon schooner.
Maroon schooner.
You know, Rory, you said something I think that's so beautiful. I've never heard somebody say, you've said it before, but today it has actually become real to me. People come, they talk to you about their mess.
Yeah.
You don't remember the mess, but I think they leave you with Jesus.
Thank you, Ben.
I really feel that there's a call over us as a church, that people will come to us with their mess, financial bankruptcy, financial mess, prostitution, whatever it is, incest, pornography, anything, they'll come to us as 3CI with their mess. But I really would like for us to pray. I know you've prayed, but I really feel that there's a moment here.
Beautiful.
If you wouldn't mind praying for us, so that people can come with their mess, but then they will leave with Jesus, and we will forget their mess.
Amen. Amen. Can you imagine having a child by your father and calling him Moab, and he becomes a marauderer and an enemy of God, and then God weaves a plan where Ruth, through the loss of her husband and the loss of her money, will meet Boaz, and David will be born from that union. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what God is doing tonight? Can you imagine why you're here? Can you imagine why you are here tonight? I walked out of this auditorium this morning and I met a man. He must have been 60. He grew up in a religious Dominee's home, and he said, I have never, ever, ever in my whole life ever heard about the grace of God like you're teaching it. I've never heard about the grace of God. I want to say to you today, sir, ma'am, there is nothing that you have done that Jesus cannot fix or carry or clean or heal or take off your mind. There is nothing. I've been doing this for 30 years. I've heard the worst of the worst stories. I'm not shocked anymore. Every time people tell me, my heart leaps up and I think, God, you're going to perform a miracle. When I look at you, I promise you, I do not remember. I do not remember. People tell me sexual sin. They tell me about fraud. They tell me about dark sins, about deep sins, about secret sins. But I don't remember them. Because God wants to cover you. Do not leave here tonight. Do not leave here tonight exposed. Leave here tonight covered. Completely covered with the credited righteousness of Christ. And if you need to speak, some of us up front, you don't have to explain. You don't have to tell me the story. You just tell me, this is what I did. We give it to Jesus and you walk out here. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.